You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ian, look at this.
What, it's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? I mean, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. Do you feel it?
Faint vibration.
It's alive.
Earth Station Who. A fun mashup exploring over 60 years of the Doctor Who universe. Hold on tight. You never know where the crew of the TARDIS is going next.
Hey there, Whovians, and welcome to another episode of Earth Station Who. That's right, folks, we're back, and we've got an interesting one. It's the return of River Song. That's right. Should I play the theme song in our background now?
We'll have to kill
blast you. Everyone's ears out. So, yes, folks, we're looking at Series 8 of The Diary of River Song, brought to you by the fine folks at Big Finish. And so we're going back to the year 2021. That's right. God, that actually feels like a long time ago. It really, really does.
Like another whole other
so
world.
Much has happened.
Yep, yep.
Exactly. The world was so much innocenter. No.
Lies.
Yeah, exactly. No, they weren't. But it was real interesting to talk about, and we've got a great crew here to chat tonight. Let's welcome back to the show, Julie Filipek.
Hi, everyone.
Yes, she is a professional podcaster now, so she doesn't have time for us as, you know, she used to. And, you know, she just was sitting around the house just like, you're calling us. Thank you. I want to be on a show. Now she's a jaded podcaster just like us. It's perfect.
I mean, I've been going since 2019, I think. So it's been a little while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's been a bit since you've graced us with your presence, as we like to say. And you want to tell everyone about your podcast that you're a part of?
Yeah. Of course, I do a Doctor Who podcast. Surprise, surprise. It is called Watchers in the Fourth Dimension. And we cover Doctor Who from the very beginning all the way through, you know, wherever we're at. So right now we have just wrapped up season 15. And just as a little sneak peek, it's our most controversial season because we go against a lot of fandom in our critique of the season. And it's really fun to do that. I'm not going to lie.
That's awesome. That's the best way to be, is you're talking about stuff that you believe in, not what fandom believes in or anything. And, you know, sometimes it's good to go against the grain.
Which doctor is that?
Underworld is the best episode of that season. I'm sorry, it's not in the bottom five of all time.
Doctor Four.
Yep, Fourth Doctor. And it's with Leela.
Mm-hmm. So,
Leela's awesome.
Love Leela.
She is awesome.
I love her. And K-9.
Yeah, of course. And it's pretty cool because you went from a very strong companion with Sarah Jane to another strong companion with Leela. So,
absolutely.
But then you had K-9 in there too. So, you know, everything's not perfect there. So it's okay.
Well, you know, also the doctor tended to be a dick. So, oh, sorry.
It's okay. You're allowed to on the show.
Speak truth to power.
We're PG-13 on the show. It's okay.
Okay. Good to know.
We're not G-rated. I don't think we've ever been G-rated on anything we've ever done.
I don't think I was even G-rated back when I was G.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And of course, as you heard, we have our regulars with us. Let's say howdy to Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
And Ms. Mary Ogle.
Hi, everybody. Fantastic to be here.
We've got to come up with a catchphrase for Mary, because Mike has this howdy.
That's her catchphrase.
It's so wonderful.
It's not much of one.
But I mean, it's a comforting phrase.
No, but, you know, like with you, howdy has followed us everywhere, you know, ever since, you know, we started the other podcast. You know, every time we go to cons, we have people come up to us who listen to us, howdy, you know, and everything, because of you, not because of Minnie Pearl or
and
anything.
And I've been using howdy longer than I've been podcasting, so it's something
that's
followed
me.
It is part of me.
It's an inner part of you. Got it.
Which is very strange.
So that's awesome.
Because I do not come from howdy country.
No, you don't. How many people say howdy up in Massachusetts, you know?
There was one. That was me.
Somebody had to.
That explains now why he got shipped south.
Actually, a friend of mine in high school did too as well. So I think that's where we sort of came across it together. And that was our thing.
I could say you guys were doing a howdy off, but that would just be too weird. I definitely.
And yes, probably not the weirdest thing. Not the weirdest thing we probably did.
Oh, God.
Especially high school.
Really, Mr. Gordon? Okay, that's for Earth Station Who After Dark. Okay, there we go. But that's another episode. Maybe for Patreon, we'll do something like that.
The howdy years.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Join Patreon.
Of course, you know, if you guys are interested, please send us feedback at EarthStation Who. You know, we definitely would love to hear from you. Feedback at EarthStationWho.com is the best way for you to get in touch with us. So, you know, a lot of Doctor Who news. We're literally weeks now away from the new season. I am so excited.
Yay.
It's, you know, less than a month, folks.
They're promoting it.
Yes, they are. And everything. Like, and totally there is a little there is a little bit of Doctor Who news. And
it's a couple weeks out. We actually know what date it's going to premiere. That's
I know.
Surprise.
Not like the good old days. Doctor Who's starting next week. Oh, crap. There goes our schedule, you know.
Yeah, Disney Plus probably has something to say about that.
I'm sure.
Oh, you think. It's pretty interesting. But yeah, it's going to be fantastic to have new Doctor Who. And once Doctor Who is on the new series, we will be coming to you guys weekly. So instead of the every other week. So definitely, you know, please tune in, and we'll be having our reviews up and our episodes. And if anyone wants to join us for any of those reviews, please, you know, send me a note. We would love to get some fresh voices on the show talking about new Doctor Who. I think it'd be a blast. And we're going to be doing a double episode for the first, because they're Disney and BBC is doing the first two episodes together. So we'll be reviewing those both together. So definitely, if you feel game, we definitely would love to have you guys on the show. You know, please, you know, feedback at earthstationwho.com, which we just mentioned before. So definitely get in touch with us. Or you can write us on Facebook or wherever, you know, you guys listen to or participate. Always great to do. Some season two news actually came out. We had been saying, and the reports had also been saying, is that Ruby Sunday was going to be leaving after the first season. And they've actually announced that Virata Sethu is going to be joining the TARDIS as a second companion. So it'll be Ruby and Leia and then Virata. And we don't have a character's name yet for her. So it'll be very interesting how they'll be introducing her and such. So, you know, I'm very excited about it because, you know, I was disappointed when they were saying already, even before, you know, the whole season had started, that Millie was leaving the series. So
2's the magic number for companions.
Yeah, I think that's good. And I always took it with a grain of salt anyway, because she was seen filming season 2.
Well, so, and you know, that we were like saying, you know, oh, is she going to be like Martha? She'll go away for a bit, then come back for a couple of episodes. You know, so it'll be very interesting to see. And you know what? I think it'd be awesome to have, you know, two companions. You know, it's good having what a doc, because I don't want a repeat of Rose. God, I don't want a repeat of Rose.
Your favorite.
Shocker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. So I think that's pretty awesome, though, that we're getting that.
It's sort of strange, though, that you say that, like, you don't want a repeat of Rose because you're thinking, that's not the last time we had like a one companion, one doctor kind of scenario. I mean, it's been done successfully. I mean, Catherine Tate is probably one of the best loved companions, and it was just him or her and David. And so I think I don't know if there's a magic number, but I do know that certain showrunners just don't know how to handle certain numbers of them. And yes,
you're right.
Like we're what, 9 minutes in? All right, let's bash Chibnall. All right, so like I don't know if any number of companions would have been great for Chibnall, but 3 was definitely
not the right one.
Right. Yeah. No, definitely not.
And yeah, so, and even when he dialed it down to 2, it still was kind of tough. So I think that, as long as the companions are interesting and they have an interesting dynamic and, you know, I'd fine.
You know, it would be great to have a season or two with zero love stories. Zero.
Oh, God, yes.
I would love that.
Yes.
But for some reason in newer times, like in Classic Who, there was never these love stories, except, you know, if they needed to get rid of a companion, maybe we'll just throw them in love with someone, random character, because it makes sense. Sorry, I was a little mad how Leela left. But yeah, I would love to go a couple seasons without that.
Of course. No, I don't blame you on that. Well, it was interesting too, because, and I know we're not going to talk about the story that we're talking about later, but in that story, Riversong announced that, you know, I'm the doctor's wife. And then K-9 was like, you know, negative, the doctor doesn't, you know, partake. And it was just like, I found that funny as hell.
So good.
And everything.
Not his doctor.
Oh, gosh, no.
At least not on screen.
No, exactly. So it was just interesting to see. And so I'm going to be very curious to see where we go with it. And I hope we have a ton of fun, because that's what I want with Doctor Who. I want a fun season. And you're always going to have the haters out there. You always are. But it's also going to be great to have stories that, you know, that are exciting, that they're fun. And, you know, don't want to make me throw things at my TV. So that's, you know, it's a big thing. So good. Here's hoping. Speaking of Riversong, Big Finish actually announced that, you know, that we're getting a whole new series of Riversong adventures. So the nice. Death and life of Riversong.
Yeah. And it's after the library.
Yeah, yeah, I find this really interesting. The fact that, and especially with the box set, the series that we're talking about now, because it seems like it's really relevant to, you know, what's going to happen to her. Kind of spoilers here, but yeah, it happens after her quote unquote death in the library story, and they, you know, hundreds of years later, they download her person, her persona, her digital personality, and put it into a clone body of her, and that's who will be having these adventures. So it's kind of interesting to see how that's going to play out.
Julie, that was a deep sigh. Wow, I was not expecting that.
Don't know how I feel about that. In certain aspects, I know Doctor Who likes to mess with time and likes to mess with things. I hope they make her different enough, because then it just seems a little bit of a cop-out just to keep her going afterwards. But that's my opinion.
Completely.
Yeah. I just hope they get better writers.
Consistency.
Yes.
And a better theme song.
And a better theme song.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we just hope that everything is better, right? Like, yeah, sure. I don't, you know, Julie, it's interesting. I haven't really thought about it as far as that goes. I don't know if it makes sense for her to be too different, because this should be River, right? This should be River. But I do find it interesting that the powers that be are allowing Big Finish to do a future stories with this character, sort of A, acknowledging that, yes, she's dead. And her, well, for all intents and purposes, she's dead, you know. But she can be downloaded and put into a clone body, and that's all right then.
Yeah,
that's okay.
That's why I want it to be different, because otherwise it just doesn't make sense. It seems too easy, I guess.
True, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that would be any different. I really hope that, you know, for me, I would like a River character that's not so dependent upon the Doctor.
Yes.
Because as much as I love their relationship, and I think Big Finish has done a lot, this series has done a lot for their marriage as a couple, it's sometimes it seems like the stories depend too much upon her being the Doctor's wife, or she talks about the Doctor a little bit. Like, I just want, you know, I'd love a story that didn't mention the Doctor at all. And I don't know if we've ever gotten that. We don't get them very often. In fact, most of them have other appearances by, you know, other incarnations of the Doctor. So, and that was getting, to me, that was getting kind of tiresome. So now we're at the point where it seems like the series has evolved. And I know we're still behind. A lot of people are like, yeah, that was like four seasons ago. Now we're getting to the point where at least they're not so, you know, she's not meeting an incarnation of the Doctor and having to explain or not explain who she is to them and interact with them in that respect. She's able to do other things. I mean, there's still characters that she's from the Doctor's history and from the franchise that she's encountering, which is kind of interesting to some degree. But yeah, I don't know. I like the fact that Alex enjoys doing this enough that she's willing to do more. I did feel like it was odd when the diaries came to a ended. So I thought, wow, it seemed like Alex was really enjoying these. I find it hard to believe that she doesn't want to do any more. And then they announced that she was doing the one with the story with the Ninth Doctor. And now, so it doesn't surprise me that they're doing a new series, but it is really interesting that the powers that be are letting them go forward with the character, which means it tells me that Russell T probably has no plans for her at all.
Well, to take Julie's point, I do hope that they go in a different direction with the new series. I mean, I hope they're not just going to repeat where they've been going. And then, I hope they have allowed her character some growth or at least some change for all the time she spent in the library. Because, you know, after all that time, you shouldn't be the same person as you were before. And maybe even explore, is this actually the River we knew, or is this actually a copy of River? Because this was her personality digitized.
Would you actually consider this River the Doctor's wife?
Well, that would be a good question to think on, to write about, to explore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will.
She has my problems, all of River Song's memories and such, but she doesn't. You know, it's not actually her.
Right, right. Well, and one of my problems with the Diary of River Song is that, as you were saying, it has been very Doctor centric, even when the Doctor isn't there, and the Doctor's only a cameo in this one, mm-hmm. but it's still, there's always a point where she's like fawning over the Doctor, and that's just not necessary. That's not even who she is, I think, as a character, and I don't know why Big Finish does that so much. So I hope they get away from that and, you know, keep working towards her being a central, strong character who stands on her own.
I don't disagree with what any of you guys have said. So it'll be very curious to see where it goes. So be cool. A little bit more Doctor Who news for this upcoming season. We got Jinx Monsoon's character's name. Will be known as the Maestro.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun. Makes sense. You see musical notes on their body, you know, on their costume.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting.
A part of me that's a little weirded out by all the musical numbers that we've gotten with the new Doctor. But then a part of me with the Maestro is, you better be a villain that's breaking out into the best songs, because if not, you're doing Disney a disservice.
Well, we did get confirmation that there will be no Beatles songs.
Well, yes.
That was actually the next thing I was going to find out. I found that real interesting.
So even though they have Disney money, they don't have that kind of Disney
money. They don't have Beatles money.
Yeah, they've got money, but not for the Beatles. Uh-uh. Yeah, I'm sure Disney could barely afford that documentary that Peter Jackson did. So, you know,
they've got a relationship with Apple now that they're doing other Beatles stuff. So, I mean, there's still like a lot of stuff that Disney is doing with them, which would make sense if they would allow that, but obviously they're not. So, I don't think that's any, as long as they don't try to do some cute workaround where it's like, yeah, they're playing better, like whatever. So
it better not be like new stuff that's supposed to sound like the Beatles. I would be very upset because there's no need for that.
Yeah, we don't need a Beatles cover band episode. No.
It would actually be kind of cool, and this is just, I haven't heard anything, so this is just my idea, that the maestro steals their voices, and so they can't sing.
Yeah.
Well, that would actually make...
Or, you know, steals their music ability or something like that. I like, yeah. I try to stay away from spoilers and all that kind of stuff and information. So I don't know who this character is going to be or anything. I don't know anything mm-hmm. other than what you said on this show. And I sort of half listened to that.
That's normal for our relationship, Mike.
Exactly.
It's okay.
Exactly. I'm guessing that this is one of the, you know, beings that the Celestial Toymaker was referring to that is coming to play. Although
his army,
I would love the idea, because it's been a long time. I don't think, has New Who done this? Have we gotten a new Time Lord designation? Because Classic Who is full of them, like the Valyr, the Ronnie, the Monk, like there's the Master, like there's full of them. But I don't know if New Who has introduced anybody in that sort of Time Lord with a specific title. And and the Maestro sounds like it would be a really cool one, but I don't know if that's the case here. But that would be cool. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm not going to speculate that it is or not. I do find it weird that New Who's never designated another Time Lord title.
Well, supposedly Gallifrey was destroyed for.
Yeah, but then it's been back, and then it was destroyed again, and it was back, and it's like, I mean, come on, there's other Time Lords out there. We know this.
Chibnall could have done it, but let's be happy that he didn't.
Thank goodness for small little miracles. Yeah. So
I think the timeless child, I guess, is I don't know if that's considered one. Yeah.
And then they also have the cyber time lords. So there you go.
Well, you have the fugitive doctor, the Ruth doctor.
The fugitive doctor, yeah. But I mean, there's so many other doctor. I think that there's other things you could play around with. So I would love to see I would love to see another rogue renegade Time Lord come into play at some point.
Time Lord's gone bad.
Not necessarily like evil, like the Master. I don't want a clone of that or anything like that. I just would another personality, another something else to add to the canon. You know, I think that would be really cool.
Big Finish is actually getting ready to do that whole series, Dark Gallifrey. So you might get something in there too. So
that's Big Finish. There's, that's okay.
It's Big Finish. It doesn't matter. You know, it's Big Finish. What the hell?
They've got their own River Song that they're introducing. So I mean,
oi is all I can say. So it's gonna be interesting, folks. And I'd really think, you know, we've got a lot to look forward to, and it's always great to be able to share it with these folks. One of the things I'm loving is, you know, on the marketing that they're doing for the new season of Doctor Who is I love the slogan that they have, "Your cosmic joyride awaits." It's just ripping awesome. And, you know, it's like, it's just, I'm excited for it. And
boy, it sounds like a tagline for a Disney theme ride, doesn't it?
Yes. Hey, at least they haven't come up "When You Wish Upon a Star" yet for Doctor Who.
I mean, you know,
it's only a matter of time, you know.
I'm sure they're planning the Doctor Who experience in their theme parks already.
I'll be there.
I think that would be a really easy way for them to get us there. Yes.
If I could afford to go there, I'll go there.
You know, more patron money. Come on. We need to take us all to the park. Come on, folks.
If we start now, maybe we'll save enough.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll save enough to be able to afford one of us to go in the park. Yeah. Thank you. Can I get some more? More? Yeah.
Exactly.
You want all of you to go into the park? That's just enough for one of you. So God, that almost is a great story right there in the writing. So I think that's pretty awesome.
And then in years to come, they will have an episode of Doctor Who set in the Doctor Who theme park.
Yes. It all comes around.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it'll be like a little TARDIS that is bigger on the inside.
Right.
Well, wasn't it when we reviewed the One Doctor, they had the other doctor's, the fake doctor, his TARDIS was basically a porta potty. So you know that's you know, and that would be funny to see on TV if they did that at the amusement park that they went to. It's all me, but it's all warped, you know, type thing. I think that RTD, are you listening? We've got great ideas here. You know? and we work cheap. All we want to do is get into Disney, so it's okay.
Yeah, well, that's not cheap.
No. Yeah, exactly. True, true. Very good point. All right. I think that's, you know, all the big stuff for Doctor Who too that we're going to talk about tonight. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment, and we are going to review the Diary of River Song, Series 8. What if you could bring three experienced producers into your home each week to discuss your favorite movies and the people that made them? That's Tales from Hollywoodland. Your hosts, Arthur, Julian, and Steve, collectively have years of showbiz producing experience. Their weekly show is a fast-paced, fun, and very conversational experience, like spending a good time with your best movie-loving friends and family. Tales from Hollywoodland is available wherever fine podcasts are found. See you at the movies. Hey there, welcome back to Earth Station Who, Series 8 of River Song. This one was a mixed bag for me. It was real interesting. We only had a brief cameo by a doctor, and I actually was surprised, and it was Tennant's doctor that we had in this one. I was not expecting that. I was just expecting her to have a conversation with a doctor that didn't show up. And then all of a sudden I heard that familiar voice. It's like, I didn't know he was in this.
David has become, because of the fact that Matt and Peter won't do Big Finish yet. So David has become River's husband on Big Finish, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the episodes that have dealt with River and her husband, the doctor, have been with her and David, which they have great chemistry, and I don't have a problem with that. But it is weird that normally when I think of whenever River says my husband, the doctor, I always think of Matt.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And sometimes Peter. That last episode with the two of them was beautiful. So I think, you know, that was great, too. But it's just weird how big, because of Big Finish, and they don't have, you know, they don't have Peter or Matt to use their voices of. It's just weird for me to think that, you know, like it really dawned on me here that, yeah, that sort of David has kind of fallen in as the default doctor whenever she's talking about her husband.
No, I could see that totally.
I kind of wanted to see how far down the route they were going to go with her naming husbands without naming husbands, because referencing the leather coat and then all the different ones, I was just like, how far can we go with that? And then he started speaking. I was like, oh, or we can actually have someone in here. I suppose that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I have to listen to David Tennant.
We didn't get to talk about the one with the scarf. We didn't talk about the one over here. It's all okay. It's all okay.
It it's interesting too. I agree with that. And I loved, you know, even brought up the fez, and I fully expected it to be Matt's doctor, but it was Tennant, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And everything. So I was just like, because, you know, that's the running joke, you know, in the 50th anniversary when they were at the museum and, you know, Clara goes, can't you ever walk past one of those? Nope, never will. Nope. Never will.
Nope, not at all.
Not at all.
I know how he feels.
Yeah. How many do you have, Mr. Gordon?
10? I'm in the double digits.
Oh, wow. That's pretty impressive.
Alrighty then.
There you go. But you did get to, you know, share one with John Rhys Davies. So it's awesome.
I did. And it's moments like that that make it worth where it is.
Exactly. So
he might have been actually one of the first movie characters I'd ever seen wearing a fez.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, there you go. Okay. All right. Stories.
What are we talking about? Oh, yeah.
River Song. Yeah, that's it. I liked the first one, Slight Glimpses of Tomorrow, because it featured River going through time and seeing a society evolve.
And devolve,
exactly. You don't know if it's Earth or if it's an alien civilization or what. And I also liked that it had Rachel, you know, with, and like we were talking before we went on the air, we had to try to remember who the hell Rachel was.
I didn't remember who the character was, and I didn't remember that it was played by Alex's real life daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't,
which is awesome.
Think I was with you guys when you covered the episode with Rachel. I think I joined slightly after that. And so it was close. It's a close call.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed Rachel. She does a very good job. The actress does a very good job of sounding robotic enough, but still being able to come across with certain types of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine line.
It's interesting. Yep. It's interesting. I kind of felt like it was almost like River Song with Data from Star Trek The Next Generation in some ways.
That's not a bad way to look at it. I did find that thematically it was interesting that all these stories featured robots. And looking at the cover art with the multiple canines, I was actually quite terrified that every single story was going to have canine in it. And I don't hate canine. All right, let's make this clear. But I don't want to listen to four stories with canine in them. I don't love him that much.
Mistress.
I love him that much, everyone. So if there's anything that has a lot of canine, I'm all in.
Well, the one story with a bazillion canines, then that was for you. So I was actually, you know, as we went on the first couple, and I was like, okay, well, canine's not in these. That's kind of reassuring. Because I honestly thought with the cover art that he was going to be in all the stories. So, but it was interesting because, yeah, there's different kinds of robots in Doctor Who. They're not all the same kind of, you know, kind of thing. And I did like the way that this series, I mean, story-wise, some of them were definitely stronger than others. But I did like the idea that the exploration of the different kinds of cybernetic people that inhabit this franchise is pretty vast. And I did appreciate that each story we got different versions. Well, for the most part, the first two are kind of both with Rachel. But
it was interesting. I'm glad it showed that because it's just not all Cybermen or Daleks.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they don't all sound like K-9 or they don't all sound like Rachel or they don't all, you know. And sometimes I get kind of annoyed because Big Finish likes to use audio effects sometimes a little too much, I think. And sometimes I can't understand some of the voices. And I think it kind of, you know, handicaps the voice work because the effect that they put on the voice is just not something that's pleasant for me to listen to. And in this throughout the most of the stories, I did not have that problem. I did not have that problem. There was a couple that were, you know, but for the most part, I thought the voice work was excellent. And I think part of that too is because they were recording this during the pandemic, and because of that, they had to scale everything down, so they couldn't use as many effects. They didn't have all of their tools at their disposal. They had to have very small casts. They were recording outside studios. They were recording within, you know, streaming services and everything like that. So they really had to, you know, sort of strip down a lot of their stories telling. And I kind of appreciated that.
Of course, no, that totally makes sense. And I like we all said, I enjoyed the first two stories. The chemistry between, you know, River and her daughter, you know, is pretty amazing. Rachel was a great, great character. Mm-hmm. And I like how in the story, even River has a motherly instinct to Rachel, and that she felt responsible for her and, you know, trying to guide her, making her almost like her protege.
Yeah, she's definitely a maternal figure in the stories. I mean, I also loved the first two stories. I thought it was very intriguing to have a storyline where River's trying to show Rachel the best and the worst of humanity.
Mm-hmm. And, exactly.
You know, so that she can see all sides and come to her own conclusions about how she wants to spend the rest of her, what apparently will be eternal life.
Well, exactly. But it was also interesting, you know, literally Rachel wasn't believing what River was saying about people, that, you know, that some people are very shallow, superficial. And she even used the vortex manipulator to go back to places that they had been, to people that they knew, try to get the good out of them. And she couldn't, for even if it meant that the civilization was going to be destroyed because of that.
And after all that, she still gets blindsided by two selfish bastards in the second story.
Exactly.
Yes, she does.
These were not happy stories. Okay,
and also, I like in that first one, it's even if you could change things, okay, well, you got them, what, a couple hundred years, a thousand, and then it's still destroyed anyway because of natural occurrences, which is always an interesting thing to learn too, because sometimes it's because of human hubris and sometimes it's just because, hey, everything's going to end.
What happens, yeah. Well, I think that was a good lesson to try to teach Rachel, who's never going to die. I think River was trying to say, look, that's what's happening for you. That's not what's happening for everyone around you. And you need to understand that and find a way to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also one of those dilemmas that really is only applicable to people who can actually travel through time. Because because it's not like, because, you know, I mean, they're seeing all of this happening and she's trying to go back and fix some of it and being frustrated because she can't do it. And there's an inevitability to it all. But I think what River shows her is that in her own way, yes, everything is going to end. Right. There's an inevitability to it all. This planet is eventually going to die. For whatever reason, what can you do? You can save people. Like you can save people, whether it's on a small scale, like the doctor does sometimes, or in a large scale, like, you know, changing things so that a whole planet can evacuate in time before the planet gets destroyed. So I like that sort of message, because it really is kind of an interesting dilemma that all time travelers probably have, is like, okay, I have the power to change time. When do I use it? How do I use it? And you know, should I use it? You know?
No, that's a great way to put it, because she had to, you know, that there's consequences, that some things just cannot be changed no matter what you do. There's an inevitability to it. I can't believe I got that word out without stuttering or whatever. You know, that was just, you know.
It's a big mouthful.
Yes.
The interesting, I thought,
and it,
oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought it was interesting that the first two were tied together. A lot of times I've noticed in the River Song, the first and the fourth get tied together, and then you have the two middle that are different, but that's not really the case in this one. And the other two are very much standalone, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Compared
to that surprised me, because I thought Rachel was going to come back in the last story at least.
I was fully expecting it somehow for her to pop up in the last one, but that last one was so bad.
Glad she didn't show up. It was
maybe she was supposed to, but she bowed out. So the last one,
I know we're jumping around here, but the last story is the Queen of the Mechanoids, right?
Yeah.
That's like that's a prelude to another big finish event with the Mechanoids and everything. And it's like you could just tell that this is a prelude. It's not really a River Song story, because actually River doesn't even seem like herself through most of it. She's doing things that I'm like, this doesn't even sound like River. Are we sure it's River? And so I'm like, when is this supposed to take place? Is this a young River? Like, it just didn't, I was really puzzled by when this takes place and all of that kind of stuff. And it was just tacked on so they could, you know, add it to their Dalek universe, I guess. And the characters Anya Kingdom and Mark Seven, I guess, are featured in that. So, It didn't do much to win me over to what series.
Oh, I think it put me off.
No.
Not at all. I did like the character of Mark Seven. I thought he was a great, great character. But the whole time I heard him. Again, I hate to bring up Star Trek again. It was Data, you know, the whole time.
Mm-hmm. He had more personality than Data, though.
He
had some personality. He had some sass to him.
Well, I also found interesting, I don't even think the cast really particularly cared for it. You get to the interviews and they start talking about the Mechanoids being like jewelry boxes. And I get the impression that if you're going to liken them to giant jewelry boxes, you probably aren't too thrilled with that.
They also were very limited. The only weapons they had were flamethrowers.
I mean, and have you seen the Classic Two episode? That's all they had.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But the other thing was when the big bad in that story had his own versions and they could fly, the ones that River had under her control couldn't shoot fire up. They couldn't shoot up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what?
Well, that was sort of like an insider joke for Daleks not being able to go upstairs.
That one, because exactly. That was my thing through most of Classic Who. It's like, how do they get anywhere? You just go to stairs and they can't do anything.
Right.
So yeah. I get that inside joke, but not worth it for this.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
No,
it felt very much like a Classic Who episode and not a good Classic episode.
Not a good version. one of the
forgettable ones. Honestly, until I got reminded of this, I forgot about the Mechanoids. And then I was like, oh, but that had Steven. Okay. But that's about it. That's how memorable they are.
Yeah.
Well, you know the reason remember. Why.
Have we reviewed the Mechanoids?
They're only in 1.5 episodes.
I don't think we have.
It's the introduction of Steven when he still had the beard, and then he got rid of the beard in the next episode. It made me very sad.
No, we haven't reviewed that one yet. I've seen it, but it's not a good story at all. And it's funny because they were created by the BBC because the whole thing with Terry Nation and the right, they were going to pull the Daleks, you know, because he had the rights to them and sell them to the Americans. And so they created the Mechanoids as a replacement for the Daleks. And it failed miserably. So I was actually shocked that, you know, they used it here with River Song. So.
Well, I mean, it's not the first time that Big Finish has used them. They've used them before. So,
So, you know, it was okay. The story with K-9 wasn't much better. And I know, Julie, sorry, I know you love K-9. But, you know, it was really, really bad. And but I also loved how you got to see a very vindictive River Song in that story.
Yeah, that was
the best part about it.
The idea of the cat was kind of cool. The plot was really convoluted, really overly convoluted.
Yeah,
and by the time it got to the third act, it was whittled down to be so simple. I was like, why did we need all this stuff in the beginning?
Yeah,
we did. And at first I thought, okay, it made absolutely no sense for K-9 to be there. I mean, K-9 just shows up out of the blue and just is like, I'm looking for Sarah Jane. And I'm like, what? and that's the only reason he's there, which is, and then they describe it as some sort of stupid space-time thing that brought him there or whatever. But then I thought, you know, when K-9 goes around and he gets the order and he's like killing, terminating everybody. And I was like, holy crap, are they making K-9 have to be a killer? And I'm like, we've never seen this before. And I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. And then, then they're like, and here's the real K-9. And he's been acting away all the time. And I'm like, oh, that's a cop out.
Well,
that was a total cop out.
We just covered another Big Finish where they semi made K-9 the bad guy, but really he was taking over Cybermen. So they've done it before or after. I don't know where it lines up in the timeline because I can't keep up with Big Finish. So I've seen K-9 be the bad guy before, and so that didn't surprise me at all. I liked elements of it. The thing that I found the most frustrating was the guy was trying to come across as the master, and I'm like, sir, you are not the master.
What was even the point of that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it was a stupid idea. It just didn't work at all.
I think that when you listen to the I might have talked about this before, but when I listen to the behind the scenes of these and they talk to the writers are always usually given a brief, right? They usually say, like, the producer says, I need a story with K-9. And sometimes they're given a little bit more, sometimes they're given a little bit less, but then so they always start with something. And this particular writer, I think, started with a world with canines with the idea that K-9 was walking River on a leash, like a reversal of, you know. And so that was his starting point for the episode. And I'm like, this is the problem with, I think, a lot of the way that Big Finish is writing these and producing these things, is that they're starting with these scenes and not with stories. They're just trying to wrap stories around scenes that they think would be cool rather than letting scenes develop while they're writing stories with great characters in them. And I really feel like in this particular set, because I didn't love the first two stories like you two did. And I really think that they had some good ideas, but I think I could tell that the ideas that they had were they tried to wrap stories around particular scenes and particular images, and it just didn't work because it just seemed like it was forced.
Well, and in this one, if the thing we're going to step off on is K-9 leading her around on a leash, let that be the entire story. Why we introduced this illness and all this other stuff was very dumb. I would have rather had this weird society that does legitimately have robot dogs walking people, because that would just be so bizarre. And you could probably play with that quite a bit more than you can with, oh, hey, but we have this illness that we need to take care of, and it only affects a certain number of people, and we just happen to be two that... No. Dumb.
Yeah, it was just...
It's interesting, the whole thing with the robots walking the humans and the humans leaving in the cages... I did get a little bit of a Planet of the Apes type feel.
Yeah.
And from it. But it didn't go that far or that deep. So. No.
Yeah,
the thing is, you could have explored the ethics of that and the whole, you know, is this slavery? What is, you know, the differences between humans as pets and humans as owners? And I mean, you could have explored that in a kind of fascinating way. And, you know, maybe River's there to liberate people or whatever. I don't know. But anything would have been better than the 5 million ideas they tried to cram in to it.
Yeah, it was just too much. I mean, it just, there was no, because ultimately it didn't mean anything. The whole planet full of canines and felines, it just makes no difference for anything.
And everybody gets killed.
Yeah.
Except for River and Canine.
Except for River and Canine.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we get feline at the end.
Well, sort of.
Her essence is downloaded into a cloned robotic body.
Yeah, I thought that was
wow. Funny, sounds actually, familiar, doesn't whole, it?
That's some, that's some foreshadowing. That's some foreshadowing for River, right? I don't know if they intended it at the time, but I certainly thought I thought that was kind of, with the news that we just got, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I will say regarding that though, John Leeson does amazing work as Kane.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to listen to other actors, we, like, they mentioned this on some of the behind the scenes stuff, how difficult it is to voice and portray robotic characters. And, you know, I mean, John Leeson is one of the best. I mean, he's been doing it for decades and he's got canine down, and it just, he makes it seem so easy that I could definitely tell that some of the other characters, some of the other actors were struggling at times with that, it didn't quite mesh with me. Particularly the first two episodes with Rachel. I wasn't as connected with her character. And then I found the character in the last one. What is it? Is the guy's name Jason Seven or something? Right.
Yes.
I found him a little too human, that it just didn't really strike me as, so there's that balance, but I think John Leeson, but at the very end of the episode, John Leeson does something that I rarely hear. He broke. Like, and I think they left it in just because it was just kind of funny, because when he says something, he says something about the doctor, and she, and River says, yeah, but you know, you never know what he's going to do or something to that effect. K-9 says that's true, or affirmative or something. And you could hear a little like laughter in his voice. And I was like, you never hear that from John Leeson. And I thought that was adorable and really kind of fun, actually. For that one time for him to break, it just seemed that if anybody could make K-9 break, it would be River Song.
Of course. And that was pretty cool. And, you know, in the other stories, you know, who here has never wanted to ever hear a story about zombie, you know, electric eels that are carnivorous, you know,
that's been long been my dream,
you know, exactly. You know, I so was hoping for that, and we got it, you know,
that part.
And at least one of the baddies got eaten by one. So it was pretty awesome.
That was actually kind of cool.
I knew how they tied it all together, but at first I was like, this seems very bizarre. Why in the world are the, you know, it was very, very confusing at first. And then they're like, oh yeah, it was an experiment gone bad because everyone was asleep.
500 years.
I really enjoyed that one because while Rachel is robotic, to take away the agency that she had for such a long period of time and how long she was in that, I'll call it a trance for lack of anything else. I enjoyed that aspect of it. That part I really enjoyed. Some of the rest of it and her kind of really liking Aaron, maybe not as much, but it was a good one.
Yeah. See, I had the opposite, experience than that Mikey G did. I really connected with Rachel as a character. Mm-hmm. I actually her journey and watching her, her grow and experience all these new things. And I thought it was actually really heartbreaking when she was robbed of her agency for that long. I mean, that's a long time.
497 years, 11 months, and four days, and I don't remember, just out of complete selfishness,
no other reason than, I mean, it is understandable actually, to be fair. I mean, these are very young characters, the bad guys. Yeah. And they've basically been sentenced to, I mean, it's like a life sentence, almost like a prison sentence, even though they've done nothing at that point to
right.
deserve that on this ship. And I know it's probably been presented to them as, oh, you're very noble and all of that, but still you're sentencing these kids to this life of solitude and knowing they're never going to reach their destination. So in that way, you could kind of understand how desperate they may have been, even though it doesn't, you know, excuse what they did.
Yeah. I do give credit to the actor that played the guy eaten, I think Bryson, is that his name?
Yeah,
But he also did, you know, behind the scenes, they said he was also the voice of the computer. And I was like, wow, I had no idea.
Oh, those were
the two of the same voices. That. Like he did an excellent job. Sometimes you can tell, you know, if someone's doing the same, like same character or the different characters, you're like, I know that, but he was really good as both of those, I thought.
No, totally get that. And it's interesting because quite a few of the same characters, actors played multiple characters throughout the stories. And it was just interesting. And they all did really good jobs. You didn't go, wait a minute, that's the voice of so-and-so from earlier in this story, you know, type thing.
On the first story, it makes sense. I mean, you're jumping generations and generations. Well, multiple generations, but to have the same, like same voices or the same actors playing these different characters kind of tracks, but, cause it gives you a connection with them, I think. And that kind of worked. But Big Finish does that a lot. They don't just have a cast of thousands.
It was also, you know, 2021, and they were halfway in studio, halfway not in studio still and everything. That was the other, again, I think we mentioned it before the cast, just hearing the behind the scenes of how pandemic affected how they were doing all this and how, you know, how different it was for them was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Taking us back.
For better or for worse.
Yeah, I know, right?
And, you know, consistently, Alex Kingston's just awesome throughout all these stories.
Oh, yeah, she's always good.
And so, you know, and it's funny because I found her in the final story. I felt a little bit that she was partly the bad guy in it. And, you know,
at the beginning, especially. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I just found it interesting. And, you know, then getting into the whole thing, you know, and we know River is not above breaking the law. No, we've seen that on the TV shows.
Morally gray.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And I wish they'd kind of explore that more because I kind of liked the idea that she was not the bad guy, but she was not very, you know, she was not acting above board or whatever. And I thought that was kind of an interesting, especially when you compare the other three stories where she's like, really, I mean, she obviously goes, she's not afraid to cross the same line, like lines that the doctor won't. I mean, in the first episode, like she changes time, which is probably not something that the doctor would do. Like the doctor's like, nope, you got to let it play out. And she's like, no, let's just change this world. And she even allows Rachel to do it multiple times. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and then this, you know, and in the second story and in the third story, she's full of, you know, spit and vinegar and vengeance, which is perfectly understandable. But, and then the fourth story, we get this sort of rogue, River that I miss her. Cause she was like, this is the one that we saw like kind of with the sonic lipstick and breaking out of prison. And, you know, when the 11th doctor first met her with the weeping angels and everything, that was a River that we didn't know if we could trust or anything. Like, I mean, that River is really, really a cool River. And we don't see that very often in Big Finish. And we got a glimpse of it, but the story was so badly written that it just, it really, and it was obviously a setup for other things. So they really couldn't explore that very well. So I feel like, damn, but I did like, you know, I wish we could get more of that rogue River.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a lot of times River's on her side. She's not on anybody else's.
Yeah. She doesn't. So she doesn't care. I mean, she's an archaeologist, but she's in it for the money.
Mm-hmm. She's into, you know, she doesn't care if somebody dies, you know, if she can get
charged.
Well, unless it's, you know, Rachel. Yeah. Or the doctor.
If she's
slaughtering innocents.
Yeah. If she has a connection with someone or she truly believes that they shouldn't be killed, then she's not going to be okay that they're being killed.
Yeah. I mean, she's not going to lure the space cops there to die. She doesn't, I mean, she's not that cold. Like, she's not going to do that.
Is she?
I don't think so. I mean, not the river I've seen. Okay. But if someone wrongs her, she has no sympathy.
Yeah, no qualms at all.
Yeah. Like, no. If you cut her off in traffic,
your ass is gone.
God help you.
That's what blasters are for.
That river will run through.
Exactly. That is awesome. Any final thoughts before we go ahead and rate this one?
I kept thinking while I was listening to this that the Diary of a River Song is sort of like my experience with watching Jodie Whittaker. In that, because this whole series has been so uneven. And so I feel like Jodie was great, but the stories let her down. And I kind of feel that way about the series overall with River Song. Alex is fantastic, but the stories too often let her down.
Chibnall's been behind it.
Would not go as far as to compare the producer of the Diary of a River Song to Chris Chibnall.
Well, I wouldn't go that far either, but will say that the stories have not been great.
However, I do concur because, you know, thinking about the fact that, you know, when it was brought right to my attention in the first episode here, when, you know, when Rachel comes on, I'm like, I have no idea who this is. And then this is the eighth one we've done. So there's seven other stories that we've done as far as this series goes. And I think maybe a handful have been memorable. And that's criminal. Yeah. For a character like River, that's criminal. That's a shame. What a waste, you know? And I
don't disagree with that though. I agree with you on that one.
I feel we've other series that we've reviewed, Paternoster Gang has been on fire. So good.
Yeah.
And well up to that team and those characters' potential. Whereas this series, as a whole there's been some highlights. There's been some high moments and they've really had some interesting things done. But as a whole, I have to say that, yeah, this has been, so far, pretty overall disappointing.
I mean, we can at least say it's been wildly inconsistent.
Yes.
That's a good way to put it. And, you know, and I don't blame Alex on it at all.
No.
Now, the only thing that I blame Alex for is that Alex, and she's told me this in person, that she thinks that the stories that she gets, the scripts that she gets are so beautifully written and she's so thankful for them. And I just want to say, sweetie.
Well, she wants to keep getting jobs with them. So.
Alex, sweetie.
It's a paycheck.
I'm sorry, but you deserve better. And so I wish she could recognize and put her foot down and be like, I wish the stories would be better. I won't come back unless the stories are better. And maybe she did that. And maybe that's why the diaries came to an end after the 12 series. And now we're getting hopefully better stories. But supposedly she said, regarding the new series, they said after they recorded the first episode, she kept the script because she said this script is special and I want to keep it for my own personal collection because it's been one of the most best things I've ever done. So that is hot, you know. That means something, but in context to the fact that she thinks a lot of these others have been brilliantly written, I'm kind of like, okay, well, we'll see where that goes. But
fair enough. Totally get it. All right. Rate it, folks. 1 out of 5 TARDISes. 1 being the worst. 5 being the best. Julie, you're a guest tonight. You get a go.
Oh, my favorite. I forget how you guys do this. I usually talk first and then give my score. So
you can do whatever you wish for.
That's what we do too. Sure.
Okay, just double checking. Yes. I think I enjoyed a few things more than everyone. I really enjoyed the first two, really enjoyed Rachel, and I love K-9, and I liked some of the elements of that particular episode. The fourth one was trash. I'll just go ahead and say it. But Big Finish still does a very good job in what Big Finish does. Audioscaping is very good. Music is very good. All that jazz. So I'm going to give it 3.5 TARDISes out of 5.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mary.
This is a hard one because I feel almost like it's two different things. Because the first two episodes are so different from the other two. And I kind of agree with Julie. I think I like the K-9 episode less, but it was fine. The last one's terrible. And I personally really enjoyed the first two. So I think I'm going to give it a 3 because I'm kind of in the middle here. And I think I would recommend it even if only for the first two. And don't hate me for the last one if you buy it.
We'll completely blame you on that one, Mary. So it's okay. You know, I want my $20 back, basically. All right, Mr. Mike, break it to us, bud.
There's not much I loved about this. But I have to, you know, agree with Julie that the production is done well. And I don't think any of them were, you know, my God, terrible. None of them really thrilled me. And I can't imagine myself just listening to any of these ever again. So, I'll give them a two out of five.
Wow. Okay. I'm torn because like both, Julie and Mary, I loved the first two. I thought those were great. If it was only those two together, it would be a 5 for me. Very easy. But we didn't have those as a full story. We had we'd had to slog through the last two also.
Negative.
The K-9 one was just like, what? You know, through most of it. And trying to decide if we, you know, where it was going and everything. So I'm going to give it a solid 3 because if I had to do the last two, I'd give it a 1, you know, type thing, because it was really bad. Especially that last one it just didn't do anything for me. So I wanted to like it, and I was, you know, I listened to that one today, and it was just like, oh, cool, one more story to go. Oh, well, you know, so I'll give it a solid 3. It's, you know, it's a fun listen for one time, but like Mike said, I'm not going to go back to this one. I might go back to some of the older ones because I love hearing her with some of the older doctors, but, you know, and I'm looking forward to some of the future upcoming ones we have where she's at UNIT. I think that's going to be pretty awesome. And
is
so,
it new UNIT or old UNIT?
Old UNIT. The Brigadier.
Yeah, the next one that we have, she's it's in the Third Doctor era.
Yeah.
Benton, is Benton there?
Of course, Benton's there. So I'm actually looking forward to that because I want to see the Brigadier blush, you know. I wish we could, you know. And I could definitely see some pretty cool stuff out of it. So definitely, please let us know what you guys thought. feedback@ourstationwho.com. We definitely would love to hear how you do it. Please, you know, if you enjoyed the show, if you like what we do, please subscribe, please like, you know, wherever you're listening to us or viewing us, you know, if you're watching us up on YouTube or if you're listening to us on Apple or Amazon or Spotify, you know, anywhere fine podcasts are found, we're up there. So definitely like and subscribe, as we like to say, and give us that wonderful thumbs up or give us a star, you know, at least 5 stars, you know, would be great. You know, if that's available. And if you didn't like it, 5 sarcastic stars, as our friend Gary Mitchell likes to say. So definitely check us out, you know, and, you know, we have got a great archive of all our old shows. And it was interesting. One of our listeners wrote us recently saying, hey, I'm loving when you do your River Song reviews, but I couldn't find where, you know, the first two that you guys did, because there's only a certain amount that we went back to on the ESW website. So I pointed them to the ESO network website, because we have a full archive of all of it. And I think one of the projects I'm going to be working on over the next 6 months or so is putting all our old episodes up on archive.com. You guys can actually listen to all the episodes for free, and you don't have to subscribe to that or anything. It'll just be, every time we put up a new episode, that'll go up there. And so we're going to also do that for Earth Station 1 and probably older episodes of the Dragon Con Report and such. We'll probably end up doing that too, so people have a good, you know, archive. And if you haven't checked out archive.com, folks, it's pretty awesome. I listen to old concerts from all these artists that, you know, that they put up there, and it's like concerts going back over 50 to 60 years. It's pretty cool stuff. So, you know, it's definitely stuff you could definitely check out. And podcasts are starting to put their archives up there. And like Earth Station 1 did over 700 episodes. So, you know, that's a lot of episodes to put up there. So,
and at some point, Julie, I mean, we haven't, our show doesn't go in order like yours does, but at some point, with all our shows on archive, people, if they want to start from the beginning, they can actually, like, you know, navigate their way through our show and actually go from the beginning on, with a few holes right now, but we're filling those in slowly but surely, so that eventually people will be able to start from the beginning and listen to our.
I was just going to say, I don't recommend the Space Pirates. Save that for last. You don't want to watch it.
No. Trial of the Time Lord is last.
We have already established the Trial of the Time Lord is last.
It's going to be our final story. Mm-hmm. So definitely, you know, it'll be worth it, though. But, folks, it's always great to talk to these fine folks, and it's great to talk to you guys. We actually had a great, great time at South Carolina Comic Con. And we met some amazing folks, and we saw some great Doctor Who cosplayers. And it was South Carolina. It's just a great show, and it's only a little over 90 minutes from Atlanta. So it's pretty awesome to go and, you know, visit there. And it's a great weekend con. And I know Robert's planning on having South Carolina Comic Con Junior in October. So it'll definitely be, you'll be able to find us again. Definitely, you know, thank you for everyone who does listen and stop by our table. I know they stopped by to see Mike and Peter, but they also stopped by the ESO table, and it was just a great, great time. And we met a lot of new folks. And if this is your first time listening to us, there's better stories coming, folks. I promise. I really, really promise that. So, you know, but thank you, everybody who, you know, picked up postcards and picked up swag and, you know, cool stuff we had at our table. And it was great seeing a lot of familiar faces. And so pretty cool to do. So definitely, you know, want to thank our crew here for joining us. Julie, thank you as always. It's always great to see your smiley face.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for inviting me. It's just been a little while.
Just a little while and anything. Just a little bit. So anything you want to promote or, you know, about your podcast and stuff?
Obviously, I mentioned it a little bit before, but yes, I have a Doctor Who podcast, Watchers in the Fourth Dimension. Most of our handles are Watchers4D. So if you're trying to find us, that's what our shortened ones are. you know, Facebook, all the other places that you can find podcasts. I won't name them all. But right now,
oh, I thought we were going to take the next 2 hours to do that. You know?
It's myself and two of my friends, Anthony and Riley. And if you go further back, you'll hear some other voices, but yeah, come check us out.
Always good. Great show, folks. I subscribe to it and I really enjoy hearing what they have to say. So it's pretty cool stuff. Let's thank our regulars for being here. Of course, Mr. Mike Gordon, who we survived South Carolina, my friend.
Well, it was a rough one, but we I survived. My back went out during that weekend, and it's still, on the road to recovery for that. But, you're right, Mike. Everything you said about it is true. It's one of my favorite shows of the year to do, probably my second favorite show outside of Dragon Con. And love it. Love the people up there. I love Robert and Michelle who put the show on. And as long as they keep putting on it, they had a great celebration of their 10th one. That is the 10th time they've done it. And they still want to do more. It was crazy. They're crazy kids. But as long as they do the shows and they invite us, well, you know, I'll come up there for sure. But it was a good time.
As long as they invite, we will be there, as we like to say. That's always a good thing. And until we show up with our stuff. Oh, didn't you get our message that we don't want you this year?
It's only a matter of time.
No. They love us. It's a good thing. It's a great, great thing. And Ms. Mary Ogle, you were missed at the con this year. So definitely, you know, thank you for being here at least tonight.
Yes.
It's a compliment.
I'll take it that way. Okay. Yes. You can find my artwork at maryogle.com or on Etsy at eVision Arts.
Yay. And I could actually probably tell you guys this already. We've already been invited back to Pensacon next year. So yay. So we are going to be at Pensacon 2025. God, that sounds weird to say. God, that's weird. Yeah. And it's Valentine's weekend this year or next year.
Just so everybody, you know, wants to go.
Exactly. Just on what Valentine's, I, you know, I told Day. Judy, we're going to be doing something Doctor romantic. Exactly. We're going to be doing a Doctor Who panel for Valentine's
Day. Actually, oh, yay,
that could be the topic for the panel. Romance and Doctor Who. There we go.
Everybody loves talking about that.
Think, watchers, we're going to take a trip out to Gallifrey 1. Just as guests, I think, this time, just to go check it out. But the whole crew is going.
That's where Mary and I met in person for the first time at Gallifrey 1.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, it was really good. It's a great, great con. Definitely. Yeah, you guys will have fun. It's California, so, you know, how bad can it be? So it's pretty cool. So there you go, folks. You know, definitely, folks, if you get a chance, please feedback. And we'll be doing a live show next time. That's right. Join us in 2 weeks. And we are going to be talking some fun Doctor Who stuff. And we are going to, next time, we're going to be talking why Doctor Who has succeeded. Because it's always been woke. That's right, folks. We're going to be talking all about, you know, how Doctor Who is always tied into politics and tied into society and what's going on. So, and hasn't shied away from it. And so that's going to be our episode. And we got some great folks already lined up to join us. So it's going to be a fun conversation. Until then, my name is Mike Faber on behalf of myself. And of course, Mary, Julie, and Mr. Howdy himself, Mike. We will see you here next time on Earth Station Who. Peace. And we are done. Woo-hoo. See you for new Doctor Who real soon.
Oh my gosh.
You've been listening to Earth Station Who, a pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talents from throughout space and time. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individuals and are to be used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our show wherever fine podcasts are found, or check out our website, earthstationwho.com. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook or Instagram. And if you enjoyed the show, please write to us at feedback at earthstationwho.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you on the next journey of Earth Station Who.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.